slide down. Rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a...
Hello everyone and welcome back to Energy Discourse. This is the Dragon Ball Z Rewatch Podcast. I am your host, Tyler. And on the discourse this episode is Jason.
Hi.
Matt.
Howdy.
Aaron.
Hi.
How y'all doing?
Good.
So good.
Did we step into the wrong podcast this week?
No, this is our show, Energy Discourse.
Okay.
It's named after an attack in the show.
Because
I thought we were going to talk about, like, nuclear power and how it's not as dangerous as people think, but also it still is dangerous, but not as...
No. There's a famous attack in Dragon Ball Z called Energy Disc, and Disc also is the first part of the word discourse, which means, like, talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
Never heard of Energy Disc.
That's the move that famously killed Frieza, right?
Yeah.
What?
I thought we were going to be just discussing big disc energy.
You're arrested. This is a citizen's arrest.
Am I right, millennials?
I thought we were just going to say we're going to talk for like 5 minutes, but then we're actually here for like 4 hours.
I mean, that's kind of what we do anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we said that like 3 episodes ago.
I wasn't here for that one.
So it's only been 2 minutes.
It's new now.
Before this podcast explodes.
This, like, yep. The episodes we were talking about is going to be, like, mostly recapping the stuff we did the past few episodes.
You know, I don't hate that. I see why they do it now. It buys time.
Mm-hmm. It pads, some might say.
You guys got any, like, really good jokes you want to reuse real quick?
I got one. Big disc energy.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny the second time.
Right? It's like backwash, but humor.
Mmm. Tasty. Fresh, but not too fresh.
Every week we talk about 3 episodes of Dragon Ball Z. Typically we're watching the Funimation Now, or the Funimation dub, usually on Funimation Now.
Mm-hmm.
This week we're covering episodes 103, 104, and 105 of Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 103, the English title, is Pathos of Frieza.
Mm. And the Japanese title roughly translates to Pathos of Frieza. Once he starts shaking, he's unstoppable.
Is he, though?
Once he pops, the fun don't stop.
Are you selling me an action figure?
Is he Pringles?
I thought that was Vegeta's brother.
Is he with the curly mustache? My first note for this episode is, yeah, this planet is sure fucked.
Boy, howdy.
Hmm. It was a dark and stormy night.
Even on the sunny side of the planet.
Yeah. Where'd those 3 suns go?
They're around.
They're on the other side now? Do they all travel in a pack?
And all under the death clouds and lightning and all that shit.
King Kai recaps the fight that we've been watching.
Jesus. Yep.
Like most
Thanks,
of it.
Thanks, pal.
Here's all the shit we've seen. Again.
I didn't even have to be here for the last recording.
You're fine. And
yeah,
also,
you have to see it.
I missed literally nothing.
Like, again, here's King Kai saying Goku needs air. He can't live with the planet without, you know, air. He needs an atmosphere. He needs air. Very often sidestepping the fact that, A, Saiyans don't really need air. We've seen them fly in space. Hi, Bardock. What's up? B, I think we're ignoring the fact that aside from air, before that happens, the planet blows up.
Yeah.
And it probably fucking hurts.
Yeah.
I would think.
A bit.
There'd probably be, like, lava floating around and...
Is King Kai just suggesting that Goku surviving a planet explosion?
That's
it just goes without saying.
I'm assuming that that's the only place you can go from here.
It's like, I don't even have to mention he'll survive it.
He's Goku.
We all know Goku.
It's a bummer to me that we do get so much reused footage this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because when we do get new stuff, like particularly now, there is some really good action animation.
It's so...
It is a brawl.
Good.
Very clear posing, and the impacts feel impactful, which is good. Not as many beams as we've been seeing.
It's been a while since I've read the manga, but I feel like they stayed really close to the manga for those particular moments.
Probably true. The manga did excel at that as well.
Yeah.
Really selling the motion of what was happening in a single image. at some point during all of this brawling, Frieza screams, "I hate you."
I love this. I love this so much.
I like it because it communicates that he is past the point of quips.
Yeah. Yep.
He's mm-hmm. just upset now.
He's just, he is, this is what a tantrum actually looks like from Frieza.
He doesn't have any clever lines left. He just hates you, Goku.
He's not in control of this fight. He is not the high class player here.
Exactly. So good. Because every fight in his entire life that he has had up to this has had one conclusion. It is certain victory on Frieza's side every time. He has never had
very little effort.
No effort.
He's probably never been in a fight.
Yeah. They've never hit that wall. And at that...
Nothing has ever punched back.
Exactly. It's full on, like, unstoppable force, immovable object shit. And the reaction to that is just, like, that's a hatred you could toast marshmallows over.
And... boy, did I.
Mm-hmm.
This episode and the next episode especially, I wouldn't say that I've, like, been enjoying this show ironically, because mm-hmm. I have been genuinely enjoying it, but also sort of in the way that you enjoy something that, like, oh, this is fun because it's silly and a little bizarre and it's bad, but in a delightful way. This is, like, my shit.
Yeah.
We go back to check in on planet Earth, where Vegeta is skulking around on his own. Because everybody's ignoring him again.
My boy.
And yep. Bulma and Dende are playing in the dirt together.
Gosh. I'm telling fortunes.
Bulma explains to Dende that this is her fortune-telling ritual, where she burns leaves that are encased in a circle in the dirt. And if they burn, I guess, all the way through? Is that the thing?
If the same fire just, like, burns all three of them or something...
Yeah.
It will tell them that a traveler will come home safely. Dende approves, and he provides the fire. It's a blue flame, but the wind...
the little bing sound effect.
Yes. Fresh out of Dragon Quest.
Yes. Yeah, that was the game. I was trying to think, what game is this? Is it Zelda? No.
Dende casts Frizz, but the wind blows it out, which is an ill omen.
Only two of the leaves burn.
What's Gohan's reaction to this?
Except Gohan exclaims, "Fortune telling is nonsense." Shots fired, Jason.
Listen here, you little shit.
My mom taught me about science, and this isn't that.
I looked this up, and this is, while not exactly one for one, there is specifically a type of fortune telling that involves burning leaves.
There's a kind of fortune telling for everything.
Oh, you know it. This particular flavor is called daphnomancy. It's a form of pyromancy, where you tell the future based on how a fire's going, specifically burning bay laurel leaves.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
New D&D character is a daphnomancer.
Yo, that'd be a good Pokemon, though.
Does anybody else imagine that Fortune Teller Baba was... like watching this when Gohan said that and just went, "Excuse me?
I have plans for you."
She's got the crystal ball version of a Google alert.
Somebody's some mentioned you.
Push notifications.
Gonna go give him a hex.
I did like that when Gohan does provide his beef with fortune telling, Piccolo approvingly smiles behind him.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You tell him, Gohan.
You tell him.
This is very good.
Oh, this is interesting. Apparently in Daphnomancy, the way, instead of the whole three leaves, if all three of them burn, whatever. Apparently in Daphnomancy, you determine how good the fortune is by how crackly the fire is. Mm. Apparently if it crackles a lot, that means it's a good omen and whatever you want to happen is happening. And if it's quiet, then anew.
That seems...
I feel
granular.
Like these were crackly.
They've...
I don't remember. I wasn't paying attention to the crackles.
Kind of, wouldn't that just be determined by how dry the leaf is?
Yeah.
Shh. It's fortune telling. It's magic.
Back on Punch Planet, punches.
That's what's happening here today.
That's Goku.
What Namek means in Namekian.
Be right planet. Back. I'm going to patent that video game real quick.
Punch Planet.
Punch Planet!
It's a free-to-play brawl clone. Goku socks Frieza real good in the guts. Gets him to spit up a bunch of blood.
Boy!
Yeah.
Boy, oh
Frieza
boy.
These are some visceral attacks here. Not in the Bloodborne sense, just in the feelings. Oh.
I mean, it's kind of in the Bloodborne sense. He does jam his whole fist in there.
And Frieza does bleed.
Crunch that satisfies.
I didn't see Goku's hand turning into a weird wolf hand. He wasn't doing a wolf fang fist.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Yamcha's from Yharnam.
This is like that creepypasta about Yamcha.
You know, if you rearrange the words for Yamcha, you don't get Yharnam, but it's close. So, you know, maybe it's the same thing.
Coincidence? Yamcha. I think not.
Yeah, the secret boss where you fight Yamcha, Plumerian Queen.
Oh no.
All you need is a bit of your own Yharnamcha blood.
Oh boy.
Nightmare slain.
We start to get the inverse of that time Frieza played cat and mouse with Krillin.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh yeah.
Except Goku is in the role of the cat now.
I fucking loved this.
It's really
good. Oh, this is like when you are losing at chess and you're just desperately trying to move your king, but you know checkmate is coming.
Mm-hmm.
The next note that I have is that Goku claims it's done.
I'm healed!
Oh, was this before or after he says there's nothing funny about this? I didn't take good notes this time. Because that was like the thing that sealed this for me, was Frieza was like doing still like the evil laugh thing, but it was becoming apparent he was losing. And Goku just, there's nothing funny about this. And I just, I died. I love it. And that's sort of where the pathos of Frieza lied. In that, like, he's not giving up on this. But not in a way of, like, I'm determined, I'm going to win. This is just the only way he knows how to interact with the world.
Yeah, yes. It has transitioned to pitiable.
Yes.
Right. He's, like, shaking, and you can't deal with him.
Can't reason with him.
Frieza is not determined to win. He just refuses to lose.
But not even for any reason, just...
Just because it's Frieza.
The sun sets on the east, and Frieza never loses.
Goku claims that it's done, and that Frieza's power decreases now after every blow, so he's no longer even a challenge, and he is satisfied with the thrashing that he has given to Frieza's pride.
This is disgusting, and I love it. It's full on
it.
Like, I'm not even gonna fucking waste time fighting you, Frieza.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of struck me as like, you know when you kind of get a one-sided rivalry with someone, it's just like, this fucking bitch. and you want to fight with them. But then eventually you realize, like, she's just like this. Nothing I do is going to... There's no argument that's going to change this.
There's no improving.
Mm-hmm. There's no way to win.
She's just
going to
keep being a bitch.
Yeah.
And they will keep digging
deeper. There's
nothing
to gain from this.
Yeah.
I'm done. I don't have to do this anymore. We're done.
He powers down now, back to regular black hair form.
This was also so fucking good.
And he tells Frieza, never do mischief again.
Line of the episode for me.
Still
absolutely. Line of the show.
Still our boy.
You blew up my best friend. How mischievous.
You destroyed my race.
Genocide on several cats. Yeah.
You little trickster. You little imp.
Oh, that's what Frieza says. Trickster!
Unfortunately for Goku, Frieza still has some mischief up his sleeves, and they're Destructo Discs.
No, they're not.
Excuse you, Energy Discs.
Oh, right, the name of the show.
Right.
I wrote it down as Dynamic Plate Attack.
That's pretty good. I think people respect that Krillin created, like, what is effectively... one of the most useful and powerful attacks in the entire series, but refuse to accept that.
Well, he's just terrible with them.
Yeah.
Is a problem.
Like, Vegeta has done it, Frieza has done it, people will continue to do this. They just constantly rip off the Destructo Disc, but also, it's slightly different every time.
Yeah. And it's in the hands of somebody more competent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goku answers a question that I imagine a lot of people had when this was first airing, that they just decide to address immediately, which is whether or not he can just Super Saiyan at will now, because he does it again.
Yep. Bloop. Welcome back.
It took him a little bit of a charge up. Like, it wasn't just blink.
Yeah, he didn't,
on,
like, snap and do it, but
yeah,
he
it's not going to require a death every time.
Yeah, he didn't need to think of Krillin blowing up to do it.
Unfortunately.
Unless he did, and it just didn't show us. Like an actor crying at will, thinking of the saddest day. Frieza is really starting to crack up at this point, just sort of laughing and tittering to himself as he's swinging these discs around.
Yeah, not quite to the level of Azula in Avatar, but
oh boy,
similar.
It's getting close.
Yeah.
He is sputing more and more nursery rhyme bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boy. I have a...
Round and round the monkey goes.
Off with his nose.
Okay.
Here's the sort thing.
Please. Listen, please. I painted myself into a corner.
Listen, to Frieza...
I said goes, but I need to rhyme.
The nose is the most powerful part of Frieza because it wrinkles in disgust. at the tomfoolery surrounding him. It is the nexus point of his big ol' puss. You need to get the snarly lines from the nose to the corners of the mouth, just these sayings.
And he is also, I think, capable of changing its size at will. Because
he's just constantly in flux.
It's everywhere. Someone's playing with that slider in the character creator, just tapping the ball. Goku, yeah.
Maybe this is why this is part of the problem with him being in his natural form, is that it's slightly fluid. Mm-hmm. Not really nailed down to one thing.
I like how Goku's response to all this is basically the emotional equivalent of, "This how you do me?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again?
I don't understand you, Frieza.
I gave you a second chance, and this is how you thank me?
Frieza, you're supposed to be my friend now.
That's how this works.
You have at least, like, four of the letters that make up friend in your name.
You're supposed to be friends.
My son has an orange dad, a green dad, and now a blue dad. He needs a purple dad.
Big purple!
We're gonna get the whole damn rainbow.
It didn't work out with Ginyu, so it's gotta work out with you!
Is Goku orange dad?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm big orange.
My life doesn't matter more than anyone else's. I'm just as much Gohan's dad as anyone else.
It takes a village to raise God. A Gohan.
I can see him rationalizing it that way, honestly.
Yeah, he would. It's a joke, but also totally fitting for him.
Yeah, you're not even wrong.
Frieza's chasing Goku around with the destructive discs. Oh, sorry, the energy discs.
Mm-hmm.
And Goku charges straight for Frieza, but Frieza sees right through this game of chicken.
Do you think I'm so stupid to get hit by my own attack?
That would never happen.
Who would be fool enough? And that's all I have for 103.
The episode ends with Gohan with a great quote from Gohan, which all he says is just, "Come home, Daddy."
Oh, yeah. Just hop back to Earth for a sec.
Mm-hmm. Also, for those keeping track, the 5-minute planetary destruction timer is at 1 hour, 58 minutes, and 38 seconds.
Any other thoughts for 103?
I have one. At least I think it's for this one. I can't really remember too well. This was the episode where Frieza constantly was calling Goku a monkey, correct?
Yes.
And Goku finally responded to that?
Yeah.
Okay. And the quote was, I have it here, "I guess name-calling is your only attack because you're too weak to challenge me any other way."
Yeah, that's one of my first notes.
But he
does
respond to it a little bit.
Yes.
By saying, like, I didn't take good notes, and I apologize. Your name-calling just doesn't hurt. It just reveals your own hatred. And,
right,
and...
yeah. Well, okay, I want to just go ahead and take this moment to just combine those two quotes in a sentiment that I feel like, so this is one of those moments where the show has, like, has done, like, a very powerful thing, but not on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
In that, so, obviously most people are aware that the Saiyans are very popular amongst the African-American community. This is a huge reason why. Because I don't know if you know this, but one racial slur for African-Americans is monkey.
Yeah.
They've created this like really cool like racial analogy, but I don't think it was on purpose at all. Like, this show's filled with lots of racism that's not flattering, but Frieza is clearly a bigot.
Yeah, right. It's that thing where somebody, you know, whatever somebody chooses to insult you with tells you more about them and their fears and insecurities than anything about you.
Mm-hmm. They're projecting.
Yeah, I just wanted to give props to that moment, just because I've seen, like, on Twitter multiple times people, like, post that scene and be like, mm-hmm. this hit me so much harder than I expected it to.
Obviously, none of us can speak directly to this, but just to add on to that, from an article that I read at least a year ago at this point, that was interviewing African-American fans of the show and sort of asking them why this resonates so much with them. A lot of them responded with sort of feeling a kinship with the displacement of the Saiyans as well.
Yeah.
Like a struggle to connect with their home and not feeling at home where they are. And I thought that was an interesting take as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like, you can joke all day, like, oh, black nerds just like DBZ, nothing else. But no, there's reasons for this.
There's legitimate connections being made there. Episode 104, the English title is Frieza Defeated, with 2 exclamation points.
2 of them. The Japanese title roughly translates to Goku's Declaration of Victory, as Frieza destroys himself, ... And as future Gohan narrates at the start of this, we are fighting on a time bomb the size of a planet.
Because it is a planet.
It is. And it is also a time bomb. It is both of these things.
Yes, correct on both fronts.
Goku's heart really isn't in this fight anymore. He's only feeling pity for Frieza at this point. And this is where he points to the name calling and how frequently it's coming up now. Because it's all that Frieza has left. Which I noticed as well. Like, now that he's gotten to this point, he really is leaning on it a lot harder.
Yeah.
As he goes forward. Just,
pumping himself up and trying to dehumanize Goku so as to not accept his mercy.
When Goku calls him out, Frieza gets really despondent, like, no one talks to me like that. Negating the fact that everyone around you has been talking to you like that for about the past 6 hours. You were called Horn Boy while you were being plummeted into a rocky crevice.
He refers to it as the only attack that can still hit. Frieza then produces a second disc to up the challenge. Because the first one wasn't enough. Over on Earth, we're getting a lot of really good stuff from Vegeta. Favorite stuff.
Oh, my sweet boy. Sweet good boy.
He is laughing maniacally to himself.
Oh, good.
Right at, like, a squirrel and some birds.
He's playfully tossing grass in the air.
Yeah. I was also really hoping someone to make a gif of the scene of him throwing the grass in the air.
Oh, I've seen it.
There has to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, anime confetti.
That was
just
so
like, ah.
Good.
Yes.
Love it so much.
So good.
Excellent thing about this that continues is when we, like, pan back to, like, Gohan and Piccolo scowling at him, and Bulma, she's got this, like, well, it's not scowling, it's like a look of kind of concern, but also, I was afraid of this guy. I don't need to be afraid of this guy. He's an idiot just like the rest of them. Oh, bud.
Vegeta is reflecting on the good old days of the planet conquering.
He remembers Raditz.
We get a rare Raditz sighting. Vegeta reflects on how sucky it was working for Frieza. During the flashback, he establishes his lifelong credo, which is that a strong man stands above and conquers all.
Okay.
All right.
Gohan, the 6-year-old, shouts him down, telling him that Goku is definitely going to come back alive.
I really like this whole flashback sequence, because it is a flashback, but it's a flashback of new content.
Yeah.
And this is, like, one of the first times where we actually see a full-on, like, Saiyan Planetary Extinction Squad, composed of the original three, which is Raditz and Nappa and Vegeta.
This era in the Dragon Ball Z timeline is, for me, what the Obi-Wan era is for Star Wars fans. Like that
like era the Clone Wars?
After the Clone Wars.
Oh, I see.
Where he was the hermit.
Yeah.
The like unexplored territory that everybody's like, but there had to be some like really cool adventures happening there. I want to see them.
Between that trio?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I want nothing more than that.
Back on Punch Planet, Frieza chases Goku around with the sky pieces. Goku conks Frieza real hard on the head, just real good.
One of my favorite shots.
A sizable indent in the shiny bit. I don't know what that actually is. Of
yeah,
his
that
head.
That made me.
It's the
like ponder. What the
what
fuck
is that?
What is his head made of? I always assumed that would be like a glass-like texture.
Yeah,
but the way that dent looked is clearly not.
It's like a gusher.
I didn't want to say gusher, but I was really thinking it.
Of course, because that's what it looked like.
Yep, so it's all soft and jelly.
Yeah, there's just jelly in there.
I mean, what else is a brain, though, I guess?
Frieza doesn't have a skull.
I guess not, because it just pops back out eventually.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. You need to evolve a skull to protect yourself from things that might harm the organ within. So you've naturally got a hard case of bone from dangers that you might have. Frieza doesn't have any environmental dangers.
That's true. And never has. Apex.
Why would he need to evolve? Shit. He doesn't need to protect a damn thing.
Even in his little baby form, when he did have like some kind of bone structure around his head, that bit was still bare.
Pliable.
Goku starts slapping the shit out of Frieza.
This is really good.
This broke the seriousness for me. Like,
give it to him, Goku! And a one! And a two!
Oh, God.
I wanted to talk about the mechanics of this a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the way that he's slapping him, he's holding him with the other hand as if to say, like, by a shirt collar. How is he doing that?
I forgot about that.
He pulled
and now I'm
really
just
hard.
He just grabbed a tuft of skin.
Just, oh no, Martha!
No, you grab onto the collarbones like the one guy in the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom pulling the heart out.
Oh,
I'm gonna slap some sense into you.
He knocks Frieza to the ground, who is then accidentally cut into several pieces by his own attack.
Oh, this caused
by his own energy disc. He just, like, fucking lost track of where the discs were, I bet.
Yeah, Gordy asked that, too, and he said, like, wouldn't it just dissipate or something? And I just took it as, like, we've seen beams. Even when they stop beaming them, they still travel. Like, there's still momentum.
Didn't Gohan get hit by his own beam at one point?
I mean, Goku got hit by his own Kamehameha when he was training.
No, the thing that does make no sense about this is they showed Frieza directly controlling the trajectory of the discs, and it went past him, so it should have just kept going past him.
There
was no boomerang mechanic established.
Maybe his arms were being positioned in a way that, you know, tilted the joystick on that drone.
Yeah, when he was getting slap silly, he accidentally flicked his wrist.
Yeah, when he got the people's elbow.
Or was he aiming for Goku and just missed?
Hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
But this was, like, it caught me by surprise, but it was really cool, and it really nailed home, like, everything that happened in the last episode.
Yeah.
Of Frieza just sort of deteriorating.
Oh, yeah. I can safely say that by the end of this fight, Frieza is just a fraction of the person he used to be.
But also Goku saying, like,
that's pretty
this
good.
Isn't funny. There's nothing funny about this.
Yeah.
And there isn't.
Is
that's the fucked up thing.
It sucks.
Goku hates this part of the fight. Like, he doesn't want to do this. He already knows he's stronger. He knows that if he wanted to, he could actually just kill Frieza. He does not, again, Goku does not want to do this. He just wants to prove he's the strongest, and that's it. He doesn't want to drag this bullshit out. It's over, Frieza.
Frieza to stop doing mischief.
Stop calling me.
This is not what martial arts is about.
Right. And it's pitiful. Like looking at Frieza, like, lying in pieces on the ground, like, it was legitimately just absolutely sad.
That does bring up something I really wanted to talk about, and just how brave and ballsy Toriyama is for doing this. From a narrative, like, writer's perspective, to have the biggest bad of the entire series of your show that's been going on for almost a decade, for it to culminate like this, no beam struggles, no like last ditch efforts from Goku, literally the big bad crumbling in front of the hero.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I just like listening to this show.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good show.
The one last thing that really kind of humanizes Goku for me in all of this, like, kind of puts him past the pale of, like, just being a goofy cartoon character who's goofy. Like, I can really say, oh, I get what that's like. Is at some point last episode when he depowered, he'd said, like, I gave you one last chance. But then he gives him another one last chance and another one last chance. And it just, it's
Goku must be
hard
from the
to
Midwest.
Watch. Oh.
You know what's really funny? It's slight spoiler, but this isn't the last chance either. Like, Goku's going.
Yeah.
He will continue to give Frieza last chances.
Yeah.
Well beyond
this.
I
love that. I love that a lot. It says something about who Goku is, how. It's not just merciful that it's a sort of character trait that could be a flaw or a benefit. It's just beyond being a moral thing, it's just part of who he is.
Right. Goku says a thing that I never thought I'd hear him say, which is that he's tired of fighting.
Yeah.
And he decides to leave Frieza to his fate. But Frieza begins pleading for his life. And it does give Goku pause.
With a bitchin' organ solo in the back.
God damn, this organ. Oh, if I had taken good notes, I would have made a note. Because it's like if Bach heard about jazz. I fucking love it. It's like,
yeah,
because there's parts of it that are like the toccata and fugue, you know, the one in D that's like, but then you get a couple little half steps in there, some jazzy chords, but then it's still this D minor bitchins. I love it. All about it.
Frieza is begging for his life. He keeps peppering in things like, I'm sorry, you can't leave me like this. And he eventually stumbles on the magic word, which is mercy.
Mm. Oh, damn, there's a whole episode title that's just that, isn't there?
Begging you for mercy.
It's clear that Goku hates hearing that word out of Frieza's mouth, because it sets him off, but he still can't help himself, and he sacrifices some of his own energy, and it gives Frieza a little bit of temp HP.
Mm-hmm.
I know who he is. And I know if I do this, I know what he's gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I know who I am.
Hey guys, it's almost like Goku's psychic.
What? Nah. No way.
Anyway, this episode ends in my favorite way it could possibly ever end, which is Vegeta being a huge dork, just rolling around cackling in the grass.
Sweet. Precious boy who I love.
The hills are alive.
And
with
Bulma's
the prince
just
of
looking
Saiyans.
On with that same exact look. Why was I scared of this guy? He's just another idiot.
And
he's just another punch idiot.
Gohan is still patiently waiting for Goku to come back. He's just gonna stare at the sky until it happens.
Yep. Daddy, come home.
Any other thoughts for 104?
Well, I'd like to let you know that the 5-minute planetary destruction timer is currently at 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 10 seconds.
So, at the beginning of that episode, the planet, there was a shot of the planet, and it kind of looked like the beam ball that Frieza shot into the planet to destroy it. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool.
Episode 105, the English title is Mighty Blast of Rage.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Frieza defeated. A single blast packed with a totality of rage.
So it's a two-parter in Japan.
I guess. Frieza defeated, but more. Very, very defeated.
I mean, there's a blast of rage that we'll get to at the end from me. I have a blast of rage.
Uh-oh. Frieza now floats in the air. He's chopped from the chest down and is missing one of his arms.
This was very cool.
I love the non-detail of his segmented stumps. Just red, like slices stuff. Of cartoon ham.
Yeah.
It's just jelly.
Like a little purple there, mixed in.
They should have just had that bone in the center.
They really should have.
Inexplicably.
That would have been the absolute funniest.
That would have been over the top.
Frieza's innards should look like a tail steak.
It's just tail steak all the way down.
I like the idea that this is a universe where every cross-section of an object is just a cartoon ham with a bone in the middle.
Just break
them out. You could slice an apple in half and find the same results.
It's the ham AU. That'll explain why everybody's hamming it up so much. Waka waka.
Goku tells him to just float in space for a while and reflect on his defeat, which I really
yes!
like.
We all gotta float in space for a little bit every
just
now and
fuck
then.
Off, space cowboy.
And we'll all float on okay.
Back on Earth.
I just want to comment real quick. There is a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure villain who does suffer that fate.
Oh?
And it is explicitly said it's the worst fate. You can
couldn't imagine a worse one. Frankly.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he literally just freezes himself because he can't die into space.
Back on Earth, the Namekians are enjoying all of the vibrance of this planet, very different from their own.
It's a good planet.
Yeah,
a lot of biodiversity.
Mm-hmm.
A great place to live with your children.
Raise them up,
and for a long time to live.
Guru proclaims it's a good day to die.
I love this quote. The full quote is, "This day rich with life, what a good day to die," or something to that effect.
Guru,
I love it
buddy.
A lot.
What?
He wants all of the villagers to join around him as he passes. All of his children.
Fahuto, Fahuto.
Oh no.
Goodbye, so,
goodbye, Grandpa. We'll miss you.
Goodbye, Grandpa. You're our dad.
I just want to say, this scene actually pissed me off.
Yeah?
Because we've seen him die before.
Yeah.
And it didn't go down like this.
Hmm.
No.
Weird.
Where his body just kind of fades away.
He does a Star War.
Yeah, he does.
I think this gives credence to something Gordy said.
Oh?
Where he theorized that when Guru died that first time, he offed himself to stop the wish from happening.
Hmm.
And this is what a natural cause death looks like.
I was thinking something similar, but more along the lines of, you know, the last one could argue was caused by Frieza, given that the wish happened.
Yeah. Broken heart deaths mean your body stay behind.
I mean, we've seen what Namekian fusion looks like, and we know how Namekians are, like, all about the planet. Maybe when a Namekian really dies, they fuse with the planet.
With ecosystem.
Maybe. Yeah, become one with nature.
That also, you know, helps eliminate the fact that for the next foreseeable chunk of episodes, we don't have to have plot happen in this field with a big, rotting dead guy.
Welcome to the plot boards.
There is a problem with Guru's request, though. Some of the villagers are missing. No one can find them.
Huh. Why is that, I wonder, aloud?
I thought everybody who was killed by Frieza got brought back.
Frieza and his henchmen.
Yeah.
And his henchmen.
Oh, but Aaron, you fool.
Rude.
Honestly.
You.
Vegeta points out that he killed a bunch of Namekians on his own.
And he ain't no henchman of Frieza.
He technically doesn't count as a henchman of Frieza, not anymore.
Because he quit.
I was a private contractor.
I don't want to make this a big thing, because we've been talking for a while. But I do have a big problem with this, and it kind of ties into a problem I have with Avengers Infinity War. I don't know if you all have seen that.
I haven't, but I don't have a problem with spoilers.
Same okay. boat, but if you listeners at home do, maybe yeah. fast forward like a couple minutes.
Yeah, I'll put in a time code again for spoilers.
Right.
Because it hasn't been that long yet. But there is a portion in Avengers Infinity War where to acquire the Soul Stone, Thanos has to kill someone that he loves. And the universe honors this, and I hate that.
Oh.
Because my problem is that the machinations of the universe should not honor the sort of twisted definitions of a mad person and what they think love is.
What if the universe is a mad person?
It could well be.
Well, my thinking was maybe Thanos was going to do that, extract the stone, and then get the Namekian Dragon Ball, summon Piranga, and wish back to life, you know.
Similarly, in this case, I don't think the machinations of the dragon and their wishes should honor Vegeta's identity as an employee of Frieza.
Yeah. He was the dragon could tell when Frieza was taken off the payroll.
when Vegeta was.
When Vegeta killed those Namekians, he was wearing Frieza for his armor.
That's true.
But he wasn't doing it in service of Frieza.
No,
he was it for his own game.
He was still in uniform. He had the name tag on.
Gohan's on in uniform, clock. Let's be honest.
These dragons don't wear clothes. Why would they respect uniform?
Really, the reason for all of this, I think, is just so that the Ginyu Force doesn't come back.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They're busy. They got a full-time gig down there.
They're in a better place.
It's always just struck me as sour.
What's funny is I always just looked at that scene as just Toriyama just wanted to remind us Vegeta's not a good guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does like, serve that purpose for sure. Because he laughs openly in their faces about killing people.
In case you forgot that this guy was bad.
He does revel in it.
Got to ya.
Like, he's not Shadow the Hedgehog here.
Guru passes his powers as the Namekian Elder to his eldest son.
Tag, you're it.
Now, basically. So now the new Elder assumes the role of overseeing the Dragon Balls.
Does this just new to keep Elder them, have a name?
Keep them running.
Mori.
He did
Mori,
say it.
Mori, right. Yeah. I would trust him with the Dragon Balls myself.
And I think this is about the time that Guru does his Star Wars ghost.
Yeah.
And Nail finally reveals to Dende that he did in fact fuse with Piccolo. And that's why Dende seemed to notice so many similarities.
That was a weird moment.
Yeah, that was...
Mainly because that it's the last time that happens.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware.
This is a serious rat for Nail.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like that's... Sean Schimmel is not reprising that role.
I was about to say, I hope that voice actor still finds continued work in the show.
Which, I will say, that is one of the, should I say, many areas that Dragon Ball Z Abridged is actually kind of better than the source material.
Because they maintain the fucking canon.
Yeah.
Nell is a constant character in Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I like that.
As like a voice.
Agreed.
In Piccolo's head, just another personality. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Gohan is excited because once those Namekian Dragon Balls are operational again, they can wish back Krillin.
Woo! And everybody.
And Chaozu.
Oh, and Chaozu too!
Yeah!
Isn't that great?
And that's it.
Oh my god, I just remembered something vitally important.
Please.
From a previous episode. Just in one of the cuts back to King Kai, where King Kai is vacillating wildly between rooting for Goku and thinking all is lost... and on whether or not he's decided to inform the rest of the King Kai Planet gang as to the events. In one of the times when King Kai is saying, oh, yes, it's over, Goku's got it, and Chaozu says, is Goku gonna win? King Kai so saltily says, yes, Chaozu. And I was so upset. Don't be mean to poor Chaozu.
Exasperated.
Also, you fucking prick, you haven't believed in him for the past 6 episodes.
Yeah.
Constantly being like, it doesn't matter if you win, you're still gonna die!
We return our gaze once again to Punch Planet, where Frieza continues to push his luck, mocking Goku's plight about being without a spaceship. A
lot of fucking talk for someone without legs.
Mm-hmm.
Or functioning.
You could almost say he doesn't have a leg to stand on.
We get a bunch of clips.
Wow.
For like the remainder of this episode.
More than half.
I fast forwarded the fuck through this part.
I used the sequence to apply moisturizer. So, here's the thing. We get a lot of flashback. We get a lot of stuff from stuff that we just talked about, like, two episodes ago. All the way from when Goku lands to, like, just now. All in all, this took 6 actual minutes and 29 actual seconds. So, here's what I did. I've compiled a list of songs that you can listen to in their entirety during this period of time. So,
like that match that span of time?
Not exactly, but there are some very long songs that still take less time than this.
Yeah.
So here's a few. Makes No Difference by Sum 41, which clocks in at 3 minutes 24. Don't Stop Believin' by Journey, 4:11. I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor at 4:21. More Than a Feeling by Boston at 4:49. Mr. Blue Sky by Electric Light Orchestra, and, which includes the slow orchestrated parts at the end, 5:05. Still less time.
Highly good recommend choice. That one. That's a good one.
Like a Prayer by Madonna, 5:37.
That's a long song.
The entirety of Bohemian Rhapsody, 6:07. And even Chala Head Chala by Gino Padilla and Age of Wonder. This very podcast theme song.
Jason, can I just say that I really appreciate you assuming this new role of Time Lord on this podcast.
I am the keeper of clocks, the shepherd of seconds.
So we go through all of that, and Goku starts flying away. I think he starts flying away during this. Like, this is the time that Frieza's reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, have fun with your memories.
And Frieza decides to use the energy that Goku so graciously gave him for one final attack.
You fool!
You fool! The lamentation organ of Frieza is going, that Bakian, that jazz solo is going full blast here.
Goku easily overpowers it with his own beam.
Real talk.
And
what do you think Frieza's thought process here was?
I got him.
I don't think he's thinking.
Never mind the fact that I'm only operational with a fraction of Goku's energy.
Do you think there was a part of him that was just like, don't do it, Frieza, don't do it, you just don't do it. He gave you, don't do it. Oh, fuck, I gotta do it.
Matt, do you recall the solution they went with in DBZ Abridged? Because I honestly think they handled it perfectly.
I don't remember it.
Because instead of the clip show, yeah, I'll just recite DBZ Abridged for everyone who's listening. You could just go watch it. But instead of the clip show, it's just a couple of cuts of Frieza like wondering, is this my second chance? Should I act on this?
Oh yeah,
maybe this is my one final chance at redemption. And then when he shoots his beam, he just goes, nah.
That's perfect.
Also, how they handle Goku in DBZ Abridged, because it is perfect. He is perfectly written by them. He just says, dang it, Freezer, now I have to give you more.
That's very good. I didn't think that Frieza was thinking at all at this point. He's like a toddler when it's 3 hours past bedtime and they're just screaming in the hallway.
It's time for your cot.
No! Just full tantrum.
Like, I don't know why I'm lashing out, but here I am.
This is the only... I have a mouth, and I must beam.
And I will.
He gets disintegrated by Goku's very large beam. And you know this is it, because he gets that goofy Toriyama face.
He makes a weird face.
Oh, boy.
And that's it for this episode. That is the titular Mighty Blast of Rage.
And that's it for Frieza.
And that is it for Frieza.
My Mighty Blast of Rage was that I wanted more. I was cheated of plot by these clips. I wanted to know what happened next.
I don't like this episode.
It's not great.
It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it really is.
the clips really suck the air out of this conclusion.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I get why Toei did it.
Yeah.
Because they were dangerously close.
Yeah, I can tell you why. It's because they had about 2 months between episode airing and manga coming out.
Mm-hmm. But this was not the moment for that.
No.
Like, if you were going to put filler, you should have chose, like, before this. It's the climax. God.
Filler could have been an episode next time of just Bulma naming plants for the new Namekians.
They could have, actually followed through with the plot with Chi-Chi and crew.
Yeah.
Instead of had them meander.
Are they aware of the new inhabitants on Earth?
Of any of this shit?
Yeah, somebody needs to call Capsule Corp quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, Bulma? Maybe? It would be nice?
Yeah.
No, she's busy fortune-telling. Very important. She's busy fortune-telling and observing Vegeta.
And being very confused.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Any other last thoughts for 105?
Even with the clips, I really loved these three episodes. Like, how good the first two and the end of the last one was good enough to make up.
It is absolutely a fitting end for Frieza.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. There were a lot of times that, like, the stuff that happened could have been, like, softened or kind of cartoonified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they really just kept the camera on it in a way that was harsh without being gruesome. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was just really cool.
The timekeeper checking in here. Let you know that Frieza's 5-minute planet destruction timer is currently...
Still has not occurred.
Has not occurred. Planet's still here. Hasn't blown up yet. But we're right now at 2 hours, 36 minutes, and 34 seconds.
Woof. Even if you do, like, subtract the clip shows from it, because those don't technically occur,
mm-hmm.
we're still looking at a sizable amount of time.
No, I fully believe that Frieza just stood there for 6 minutes and 29 seconds. Agape. Yeah.
As Goku sort of breezily floated away.
Yeah, that's my belief in my canon.
I am with you. I like
Goku's
this.
Just thinking, poor guy's gone brain dead. Oh, wait, nope, he's moving again. All right.
This will be my last little op-ed for this episode, but I am of the opinion that going forward, save for this next mini-arc coming up that is all filler, not from the manga... this is the last time that we have a villain with compelling motivation and, like, coherence, I feel. It kind of just goes downhill from there. I like the villains, but it is very clear that Toriyama did not want to write them as characters.
Yeah.
I don't know where specifically he wanted it to end, but it does, like, for the remainder, feel like he would like it to end anytime.
Mm-hmm. I felt like that was the case with, like, Vegeta, too. Like, Saiyan arc ends, it's like, that's the final boss. Oh, nope, someone bigger, Frieza.
Time for a finaler one.
Mm-hmm.
That is sort of what happened, and that Vegeta was supposed to be the final boss, but he became too popular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fans liked him too much, so he needed to create another final boss.
So I have a question, then.
Yeah.
This is creating concerns. Like, I'm finally, like, fully 100% aboard the Dragon Ball Z train.
Yep.
Do I need to get off now?
No.
No.
There's still great stuff.
I have a
I'm
lot
just
of
saying,
fun with what's
set,
to come.
Set your expectations for the villains in particular.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm still gonna like it.
I think so.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I would personally argue we haven't hit the best moment in the series yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Okay.
Aaron, I just want to set expectations, is
yeah.
all.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of great stuff that's going to happen with the heroes and their characterization and their sort of inner turmoil between each other, even. Mm-hmm. But we will get to the point towards the end where the villain is so mindless it doesn't even speak.
Yeah. Okay.
So just bear that in mind.
Yeah.
It's just a force of... Okay.
It's just malice.
That said... From here on out is where Toriyama kind of established himself as the king of making it up as he goes along.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
buckle
I can get
up.
That. I like
it's
that.
It's gonna get buck wild.
It is frankly astonishing how well it all still fits together.
Yeah.
If you look into what's going on behind the scenes.
Okay.
Like, I will argue tooth and nail no one does it better than he does.
I would agree. Yeah. So that's it for the episodes this week. Should we hail Satan for a bit?
Yeah, let's skip it. Just kidding.
Yeah.
A quick recap from last time, just the crucial points from last time. Zenzu the farmer, who is the truther podcaster in this canon, stumbled on the body of Ginyu that has a frog's mind and has taken it back to his lab to study and try an interview for the podcast. And Hercule, the man himself, has started trying to cook for Videl, but in so doing, started filming himself doing it and is now famous on this world's equivalent of YouTube for his terrible recipes.
Now, is he infamous in that people are like, look, this guy and his terrible recipes?
Or he's famous because he's famous. Hercule and everybody loves him and they don't even really pay attention to what he's doing.
Okay.
I would just like to compliment everyone on this podcast that contributes to Hail Satan for, even like, no matter how much you are familiar with the character, you all maintain my favorite aspect of him, which is, like, no matter what he does, even if he's trying to do something nice for his daughter or trying to be a good dad, he will always inadvertently turn it into a, like, fame grab for himself somehow.
He can't help it. It is a reflex.
He is a master of failing upward.
Exactly. And you all have been consistent with that, and I love it. I just have a very brief suggestion this time. It's all that I could think of between episodes, but I would like Senzu to start writing a book called The Hopping Purple Man Prophecies.
I love it.
The two-eyed, the two-eyed, two-horned, hopping purple people leaders.
He has found a cryptid, and he's going to document it.
Does he think the frog's croaking is like a code?
Well, that's the only way.
And
you
he's
could
trying to break it.
Distill prophecies from it.
I need to decode this toad.
Did you guys touch on the fact that this is finally an alien that he come in contact with?
First contact, Tallulah. Absolutely.
Matt, I'm gonna catch you on a technicality here, and it's okay because everybody forgets Raditz. But he did meet Raditz.
No, there was an asterisk that you couldn't see it. It was next to what I said. it said excluding his encounter with Raditz.
You got to read the fine print.
Yeah,
in podcasts.
When the bullet
technicality.
Yeah, when the bullet hit his gun and like broke his hand or whatever, put him in the hospital. It gave him a minor concussion, which blotted out part of his memory.
Yeah, that was the old Senzu. This is the new Senzu.
Right.
I thought you were going to say that's the point where he, like, Count of Monte Cristo'd into a new man. He was reborn that day.
Who is the alien now?
I am alien to myself. Am I Senzu? Or Senzu who?
Sense whoomst.
I don't like any of this.
Thanks, I hate it.
What other Earth stuff is going on?
Well, here's the thing. What does Guy Fieri do? He goes to restaurants and he eats people's food while they look on very nervously.
Yep.
So Hercule's gotta get that going. And where is he gonna hit up? He's gonna hit up his favorite greasy spoon at Nui City, the landing pod.
He would absolutely lean into that as soon as possible because he does not like cooking.
No.
Very important question. Does Mark get frosted tips on his hair?
His tips are unfrostable.
I would like to see Mark with a frosted afro.
I want nothing. I don't want anything to do with that.
You just don't want to draw it, which is fair.
I want it away from me. Get it away.
Okay. We don't have to get the...
You're issuing a restraining order on this bit.
Does he have a gi with flames on it?
Yes.
Does he do the sunglasses?
I will accept that.
Yes.
One thing I want, since you put Mark in the landing pad, I want there's something I want to happen.
Please.
He takes his master, his dojo master, with him.
Oh.
Vince McSatan, yeah.
Oh. Takes him out on the town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's someone else at the landing pad.
Hmm.
Someone the Dragon Ball community has met before.
Who could that be?
It's It's Tao Pai Pai.
You mean Mercenary Tao? The cyborg?
The legendary assassin that Mark and, no, he's Hercule at this point.
Yeah.
That Mark and Mr. McSatan don't know at all. And then they,
known utilizer of the Dodonpa.
Yeah.
Same school that Tien and Chutsu came from, right?
The mm-hmm. Crane School.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's brothers with the guy who does that.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
yeah, really just marinate this one, Matt. You've been waiting.
Yep.
So long.
I have. Every week I'm like, how can I make this, how can I work this in?
Is it time?
I think it's time. I think we should literally pull the trigger.
What we're trying to do here, folks at home, is we're trying to lash this to a piece of actual canon.
I agree that it's time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
Yeah. So
no better time than now.
On camera, on Mark's show.
Perfect.
They make a passing kind of like assholeish comment about Tao Pai Pai's little ponytail that he's got going mm-hmm. on.
And it's just... no man's do like an afro.
Yeah. Isn't that right, Vince? And then they just both laugh ponytail. At him for like a good 30 minutes. Like nonstop on camera. Just and they just keep like flicking his hair just to really rub it in. And then
he's a puny little guy, what's he gonna do?
Yeah, yeah. Except they need to do something. What should he do? Does it say what he does?
Check the wiki first before we say something.
I'm
nonsense.
Gonna guess a Dodon Ray. That's my guess. Can he do that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he does the Dodon Pa.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, he kills Vince McSatan right in front of Hercule.
Oh no!
On
his
camera.
Mentor.
How could he?
And then he just kind of like leaves.
Just leaves Hercule down on two knees, screaming to the sky, "Pyrotechnics!
Whoever you are, I will have my revenge!" And in Vince's dying breaths, he passes on the title. To Mark.
The dojo is yours.
Of Mr. Satan. The ratings for this episode are gonna be through the roof.
This tragedy brought to you by the landing pad. Double Wing Tuesdays.
Oh my god, no. He says the ratings for this episode are gonna be dynamite.
Then Mark just leans back and yells, "No!" And the frosted tips fly out of his hair and his sunglasses fall off and his goatee goes away back to his mustache. And he's the Mr. Satan we know and love today.
And guess we're going to air this episode. It's what he would have wanted.
Yeah,
we could have eaten episode... the super spicy wings!
The end of the episode has like a in memory of Vince McSatan and like a
yeah.
It with like laurels around his portrait and it's black and white. There's somber music playing.
But the font is still like Comic Sans.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really quiet, you hear somber like funerary music, and then still in the background.
Jason.
Yeah.
Let's say goodbye to Hercule for now. Wait. Mr. Satan.
Goodbye, Satan.
See you next week.
And let's say hello to some fortune telling.
Do let's. Well.
Which is not nonsense, Gohan.
Honestly.
It's got 4 stars, just like you, Gohan.
Now listen here. I may not have bay leaves to burn and figure out what that means, but here's what I do have. The horoscope section. Because various characters have canonical birthdays and thus have actual astrological signs. So what we like to do is, you know, try to look up their horoscope, see if they got something going on. Now for this week, it's kind of a fortune, but it's also kind of an obituary.
We do like to do that.
I do. Mm. It is for Frieza, who technically is a Scorpio because we've reverse engineered his birthday based on his manga debut date, which is October 24th. So Frieza, here is your little pearl of wisdom for this week. This is one of those days when the path ahead splits in several directions and you must decide which way to go. Up until now, this has not been a challenge. You just go with what's natural. But now, your fate jets off in so many directions, leaving you at the helm to figure it out. Stick with your gut feeling, and remember that whatever choice you make is probably for the best.
To be fair, his guts were on the ground. Could not check with them. They were out to lunch. Well, thank you all for listening. I appreciate everyone who tunes into this show. Jason.
Yeah.
Where can folks find you around the internet?
Well, around the internet, you can find me on my Twitter and my Tumblr. And the name for both is JCalves. That's JAYCALVES.
And Matt?
You can find me in the Twitterverse at MonumentousMatt. And on every other social media, such as SoundCloud, DeviantArt, Instagram, Tumblr, under DefineProg.
And Aaron.
I don't do much on the internet, but if you happen to find yourself in the southwestern corner of Ohio, in the around the city of Dayton, you can come by the Dayton Black Box Improv Theater. I'm in a group that performs on Wednesdays, but there are shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night.
And if you would like to contact this show directly, there's a couple ways to do it. You can find our Twitter, which is destructo_disc. Also, at that Twitter, you can see illustrated versions of Hail Satan. And there is also a link to our fan Discord, which is the Destructo Discourse Discord, where you can talk with us about Dragon Ball Z or about the podcast itself, or you could just post fan art and photoshops.
And we love them.
It's my favorite. Very much.
You can also email the show at destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And if you'd like to help other people find out about the show, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And when you do that, please, please, please give us a 4-star rating for Gohan. Give us the Gohan.
Give us the Gohan. Kamehaha? Kahameha?
I think Kahameha is just the big green dub. I can hear him saying, Kahameha!
Let this podcast alone. You've been listening to Destructo Discourse, and we are just getting warmed up. If the road ahead you seem so cold and gray, when night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, go fly away. Shala. No time to hesitate, don't wanna search the earth. We're there to buy the magic surprise. Oh, chala, hey, chala. Be cool, don't be afraid, you got the power to get you through.